Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. It'll help to keep your Bible open because we'll do a little cross-referencing tonight to help us understand the passage. Proverbs chapter 22. I want you to read with me verses 17 through 21. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 through 21. Let's read together. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. What you have in your hand, the Holy Bible, these words that are preserved for us in our King James Bible, these are the words of God, and the instruction from Solomon in this proverb is that we are to bow down our ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply our hearts to these things that we're learning, to that knowledge that he's given us. He says in verse 20, he said, I've written to thee. Have not I written to thee? And then he says in verse 21, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. You know, when you've been in the Bible for a while, and you've read it, and you've seen the truth of it, and you've seen it work in your life, you realize that it certainly is true, every word of it. And that the author, while men's names are associated with certain books, like the Gospels, like the epistles that James and Peter and John wrote, like the prophets, and the names of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, those are not unfamiliar names to you. Men's names are associated because those were the ones that had the pen in hand, took down the words, but this book has one author. The Holy Spirit has imparted to these men what God wanted written, and so that's why we can safely say these are God's words. How would you, this is the question I'd like to pose to you tonight, and then answer for you. How would you, in verse 21, like to know that you could answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? How'd you like to be able to do that? How would you like it if somebody would come to you and ask you a question? God would put in your heart that verse of Scripture that answered that question. And you knew when you spoke those words from the Word of God that they were exactly, certainly, the words God wanted him to hear or wanted her to hear so that you could answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. And that'd be something. Well, in our text and in some cross references in the Bible, I will show you what the Bible says about how you can do that. Not like it's your effort you put forth and now you're better at it, but how God could use you to be that person. In other words, not drawing any attention to yourself in the how-to formula, but things that God has said that if you would do, he would do, so that when somebody came, you'd know the words to answer. That's what I mean. Well, it's going to take work. It's going to take work, and you would have known that, right? It's going to take work. And I would say, first of all, it's a work of the child of God, that is, you and me, those of us tonight here who are saved. It's a work of the child of God. Look again at verse 17. What does he say? Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. One of the great tragedies in the Christian life is that people who get saved and come to church and hear some preaching and some teaching, perhaps in a Sunday school class or maybe even a Bible study, don't take the time to bow down their ears and hear the words of the wise to know what God is saying. It's like, I've been to church, so I have fulfilled my obligation for the week. I even came on Sunday night. So I know God's got to really be impressed with what I've done. No, it's not like that at all. He's come to give you instruction. He's come to give you His words. But you have to listen to them in a way where you can hear them. It's possible, I know this because I've done it on so many days, that you could actually read your portion of Scripture that you have set aside to read that day, like a Bible reading calendar. You could read the Old Testament. You could read the New Testament and the Psalm and the Proverb and not get anything out of it. Now, it shouldn't be that way. You ought to get something out of it. You ought to hear from God, but it's possible to just fulfill the obligation, give it 15 minutes, and go on about the day. That's not the same as bowing down your ear and hearing the words of the wise. You've said to your children when they have that look of glaze on their face, are you listening to me? Did you hear what I said? And God might say the same thing to us when we're reading. Did you just hear that? I want to ask you a question. I know the answer to this. This is going to be true for most of you, but for those of you who don't know the answer to the question, you're going to like, oh yeah, that's right. That's happened to me. How many times have you, not how many times, because I'm not counting, but have you ever read the Scripture and you got 20 verses into it or whatever and realized you don't have a clue what you just read? And you picked it back up and started over again? Yeah. I believe, because I've seen it happen, that there are times when God alerts me, you didn't catch that. You need to go back and read that again. And you read it again and you're like, wow, you're exactly right. I went over that like it wasn't even there. And then later you find that that thing He showed you is something He wanted you to know that you needed to know for what was coming in your life or for a conversation that came up. It's amazing how He does that, isn't it? So you have to hear. Be attentive in your reading when you read. And read if you're not reading. I know you hear us say that a lot, but it's still true. It's still true that people need to be reminded. So bow down your ear. That takes work. And then in verse 17, He also says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Look, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Do you read the proverb of the day? So what is the day? The 24th, and we read the 24th proverb today. I do, and I'll look at that, and I'm like, what are you saying here? What are you saying? Like in the 24th proverb, when He starts describing a man that has, well, it's right there, you see. Let vines grow on his wall, because he's a slothful man there at the end of the proverb. I went by the field, verse 30, of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. The wall's broken down, right? Nettles have covered it. Thorns are all over the place. Okay, you get that. That's not very hard. You see that. Neglect. Failure to maintain because somebody's lazy. Or in Proverbs 23, which you read the day before, when he starts just talking about the guy at the bar that's drinking too much wine, if you ever did that, you know you could have written this. You could have written this. Verse 35, he says, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. People will say after a bad night, did you get the license plate of the truck that ran over me? You don't have any truck. Come on, guys. We're here today, okay? Acting so innocent, like, I don't even know what he's talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You don't have trouble with those. But there are some of these you read, and I'm like, ooh, what is that? You know what he's telling you? I want you to apply your heart to that until your heart has understanding in what I said there. Apply your heart to it. In the same way, I've just told you something, the Lord would say, that you need to hear. And you need to start doing. You need to make that change in your life. Okay? And so he said, I want you to apply your heart unto my knowledge. I want my words to have an effect on you, but in order for them to have an effect on you, you have to meet me halfway. You have to apply your heart to this. All right, so it takes work. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply thine heart unto my knowledge. When you apply your heart to his knowledge and you see that God has done something, when somebody comes to you with exactly the same problem that you had a year ago that God fixed with his words, you know exactly what to say and you know the certainty of the words of truth because you saw them in your life. So then he said in verse 21, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. In other words, the child of God who is preparing his heart to be able to answer the words of truth hears, he applies, but he also speaks. Do you know there are times when you were prompted by the Holy Spirit to say something to somebody you were talking to, and you thought, you know what, I don't think they're going to want to hear this, and so you didn't say it. You kind of like, I'm not sure they want to hear this. It's not going to do them any good if you've bowed your ear, if you have applied your heart, but you're not willing to tell them. Now, if they're a scorner, I get it. If they're a fool and they don't want to hear, I get it. It's not appropriate for you to waste that effort there. But if they are in need of a word from God, and you don't say anything, they're not going to get help. Remember, this is sort of a similar illustration. Remember when Jesus in John chapter 5 goes to the pool of Bethesda and he sees all those impotent folk there and there's one guy there who's been in that condition for years. And he says to him, he said, would you be made whole? He said, here's what he said, sir, I have no man. When the water is disturbed, to take me there so I can get my foot in there and be healed. I have no man. You are the man, you are the woman who, when God has given you something that God is going to use to help somebody else that's looking for the answer, but you're going to have to speak. You can't make the judgment that, you know, they may not want to hear this. They may not. Sometimes when you speak the words of God, they even get mad. But I'll tell you what, an angry response is a response. No response is like talking to this wall back here. Now, I've seen people get angry, right? But because they were angry, they processed it and they came back like 2 or 3 days later and they're like, you know what? I didn't like what you said at all, but you were right. I'm reminded of that fella that was on the street there in one of the major cities. It's been so long since I heard the illustration, I can't even remember what city, but it was like Chicago or something where a lot of people travel. And not only was he passing out tracts, but he just kept repeating Luke chapter 13, verse 3, or Luke chapter 13, verse 5. He just kept saying, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And this businessman came up to him and he said, what'd you say? I said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He said, you say that again, I'll knock you flat. He said it. And he did it. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And pow, right in the kisser and down on the sidewalk. He got mad. Went up to his room, unpacked his suitcase, getting ready for his meeting the next day. Could not sleep. All he kept hearing was... You know what that man did? He answered the words of truth to a man who didn't even know what he was seeking. Next morning, that guy got up, found him a Bible-believing preacher. He had to resolve this first thing. And he got saved. An angry response is better than no response at all if it causes the person who hears it to consider the case. So we have to speak. Now, in Proverbs chapter 21, go there, please. And notice in verse 28, you see this second, this piece here, a false witness shall perish, but look at this second part of the proverb. The man that heareth speaketh constantly. That doesn't mean just constantly in the sense of he won't shut up. It's not that. Constantly also means steadily, constantly also means invariably. The man that heareth speaketh constantly, meaning what he says is exactly what he heard. Do you remember when Peter was freed from jail and in Acts chapter 12? And he goes over there to John Mark's mother's house and he rings the bell and Rhoda comes. And it's Peter, I'm here. And she goes back in and says, Peter's here. And they're like, you're crazy, girl. Peter's in jail. No, he's here. She never changed her words. She did not vary one bit. I'm telling you, she said, that's Peter out there. And went out there and lo and behold, it was Peter. She spoke constantly. So what did he say in the proverb? The man that, help me with the word, heareth, you got to hear, speaketh constantly. That is what he heard, he says. In other words, you don't fix it up to make it say what you want it to say or make it put a bow on it so it sounds a little bit like smoother. You know, some of the things the Bible says are more like a boxing glove than they are like a flower. You don't dress it up if it doesn't need to be dressed up. You just say, this is what God said. Oh, wow, God said that? Yeah, that's what God said. You speak constantly. That is, you say what you heard the same way you heard it. Let me show you. A lot of us are like, you know, I want to live like Jesus lived. Do you? Do you want to follow in his steps? Turn with me to John chapter. Don't lose your place in Proverbs 22. We're coming back, but go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. He said it, you say what he said. And I'll tell you what, the authority is in what he said and the way he said it. You're better off to memorize it or to open the scripture and point to it instead of relying upon a butcher job to paraphrase it. Or John chapter 12, verse 49. Look what Jesus said. John chapter 12, verse 49. I have not spoken of myself. May I tell you something? People like to talk about themselves. And Jesus said, that's not what I'm doing. I have not spoken of myself. But the Father, which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Isn't that good? He told me this, and I'm telling you this. It's the same thing he said. When you read that Bible, there's something, and we're going to see in the next point, about these words, just the way that God wrote them, just the way that they're worded, just the way their cadence is. And he says, you tell them what I said. You tell them what I said. You speak it. Listen, apply it to your heart, and you tell them. Now, study takes work. Back in Proverbs, going back to your text, while you go back to Proverbs chapter 22, I'll tell you what Proverbs 15 says. I'll just read it to you. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth. Does anybody know that verse, the rest of it? The heart of the righteous studieth, Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. To answer. My question to you was this, would you like to be able to answer the words of truth? Anybody? Okay. Then the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. If you work at it, you get good at it. You say, well, I'm busy. My question to you was, would you like to be able to answer the words of truth that somebody that sinned unto you? You say, yes, I would. Well, then you'd want to rearrange your schedule a little bit so you got some time to study to answer. I remember when we first got going for the Lord and I knew that you need to tell people about Jesus Christ, I studied the Romans Road. Now, I've studied some other ways of presenting the gospel. When Eddie met me out there, not that Eddie, but the one that got saved this morning met me in the foyer and we sat down. I didn't have to think about what to say, you see, because I've studied. And I went, look, here's a guy that wants to know the gospel. Here's the gospel. What do you want to do? With tears in his eyes and on his cheeks, I want to get saved. I want to get saved. Do you want to be able to answer the words of truth to somebody that sins to you? then you're going to have to do some work. It's a work of the child of God, but God will reward it. And I'll tell you what. It'll put a big old smile on your face today. God says, I want you to tell him this, and you tell him, and you're like, wow. That's exactly what God wanted them to hear. Because they tell you, I needed that. God helped me with that. So it's a work of the child of God. But I'll show you back in our text. To be able to answer the words of truth to somebody that sins unto you, not only is it a work of the child of God, but it's also a work of the Word of God. It's a work of the Word of God. Look what he says here again in verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them where? Within thee. You see, they got to get into your heart. On the page, they have just as much authority as they ever will. But if you can't remember where they are or what they are, not going to do you any good. Once they get in you, within you, something happens. It's a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. You can call them back for use at any time in any place because they are there. And watch. It is a pleasant thing, verse 18, if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. If they're in here, in your heart, then they'll come out here from your mouth. Why? Out of the abundance of the heart, finish it for me, the mouth speaketh. You get them in here, where they're within you, then they get fitted in your lips. And the beautiful thing about being fitted in your lips, they come out the way God said them, and they come out when God wants them said. Listen, the way God wants them said. They're fitted in thy lips. In thy lips. So it's a work of the Word of God. And that's why in verse 21 then, thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. You know, it's clear right here in the text, but I want to refer you to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. First Peter chapter 4, verse 11, we are instructed to use the gift that we've been given in verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So God's given all of us his grace and a gift, and we're to minister that to one another. But look what he says in verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak. How? As the oracles of God. As the oracles of God. Back in the day, an oracle was somebody that a person would consult in order to determine whether or not to go to war. For instance, they tell me that Alexander the Great had an oracle, and he would go out to this person in the desert to learn whether it was a divine time to go into war, to attack. We find that the Antichrist is going to look in the liver and make a decision about which way to approach Jerusalem, which side of the Jordan River to come down from the north. All right, that's supernatural, but that's not God. That's wicked sorcery. You have the Word of God, and these are oracles. That is God speaking and telling you things that will come to pass under certain circumstances. Like, for instance, if a man doesn't receive Jesus Christ as his Savior, the Bible says he's condemned already. Where will he go? Well, how did you know that? How do you know that? The Word of God told you that. That's an oracle. You can pronounce that if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll go to hell and after the judgment at the white throne to the lake of fire. And you could say that with absolute certainty. But if the person then would hear that and like, oh my goodness, what do I need to do? Well, Jesus died to save you, and you preach the gospel and they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. You can say with great assurance, you know where you're going when you die? What would you tell them? Going to heaven. Well, how do you know that? How can you divine that? Because of the Word of God. These are oracles. And in these oracles of the Word of God, we know something. In the not too distant future, whatever that is, Jesus Christ is coming back. And we're getting out of here. You can tell that with absolute certainty. And then things are going to really get bad. They're already bad. They're going to get a whole lot worse in the tribulation. Then he's going to come back and straighten out all the mess and run things like they should have been run long ago, right? How do you know that? Word of God. And you can say it with absolute certainty. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You know the internet is filled with knowledge, but most of that knowledge is spurious and conjecture. Man, they are worried to death about who's going to win all the ball games next week. And they're going to talk all week long about who's going to... You will know the outcome of those games when they're over. Right? It's all conjecture, but people fill their time with this conjecture and opinion and all kinds of attitudes. But God said, you know what? Why don't you fill your heart with certainty of the words of God? Because there's going to come a time when you're going to have to speak. When Jesus Christ came to this earth and he was speaking, they said after the Sermon on the Mount, they said he spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees. They were beating around the bush. Well, it could be this way, it could be that way. He came in and said, it's this way right here. And they're like, wow, that man spoke with authority. Why? Because where the word of a king is, there is power, there is authority there. And when you speak, thus saith the Lord, there's power in that. It's a work of the word of God. In other words, it's not your genius, your intellect, your personality, your fine memory. You speak the word of God and somebody's life is affected by that. They get the answer that they were asking the question for. Boom. That word of God goes to work on them and does something in their life you could not possibly touch. You know, I've said it before, but it's been a while, so I'll remind you. Years ago, when Ori was still here as coach on the university tennis team and Sho was here as the trainer, and they traveled together, Ori would read his Bible at night. Sho was like, what are you doing? Well, I'm reading the Bible. And Sho didn't know anything about it. He was raised in Japan. He was Buddhist. Knew nothing, but he was curious. So he got a Bible, and you know the story. Every 2 weeks, he'd come to our house, and we'd do Bible studies. And here was the deal. We got him a Japanese Bible, which I happen to have in my office, waiting on the next guy from Japan, and a King James Bible, because he could do both. And I said, start in Genesis, you read, keep a notebook. When you hit a question you don't know the answer to, write it down, come to my house, Ann will cook you a nice meal, and Ori will be there. You ask the question, we'll answer from the scripture. And we did that right into COVID. So we started using Zoom. And we've gone about a year and a half of this. And one day he said, now we've done Genesis, Exodus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And he said to me, I want to thank you that you have never pressured me to make a decision about Jesus Christ. I've asked the questions and you've simply answered the questions from the scripture. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. The next little while, he's in the book of Acts. Wouldn't you know it, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, that week, he's in Romans chapter 10. You know what takes place in Romans chapter 10, right? That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou should be saved. Ori invited him to church. He said, I'm not coming 7:30 in the morning on that Sunday morning. He texted Ori and said, what time is the service? And he sat right there where Ann's sitting now, or where Jerry's sitting, right in that one of those two rows on the edge of his seat. He hears y'all amen and he's amen and he doesn't even know what he's doing. You know what he's doing? The word of God has culminated through all that watering in bringing him to a place of understanding who God is, who Jesus is, what heaven is, what the gospel is, how to be saved. He met me out there in the foyer and he said, I'm ready to get saved. And he got saved. And he's saved today. I did not do that. The Word of God did that. It's a work of the Word of God. You just got to get the Word in there and then let the Word do what the Word does. And that's how it works every time. We're just the messenger. It takes all the pressure off of you and me. I do the work to study. God impresses, say this, you say it, and then let God do whatever he's going to do with his word. His word does not return void. All you have to do is just answer the words of truth and then let the word of truth do what the word of truth does. It's not up to you. It's up to it. But you got to do the work to hear, to apply, to speak, and then the word can do its work. And then finally, I would say back here in Proverbs chapter 22, if you really would like to be able to answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee, it's first of all a work of the child of God. You got to apply yourself to it. Secondly, it's a work of the word of God. It gets in you so it can get out of you and accomplish what God wants. And then it's a work of the Spirit of God. It's a work of the Spirit of God. Look what he says here in verse 19. That thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Who makes known the word of God to you? Who is the teacher? According to John chapter 16, the teacher is the Spirit of truth. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that guides you into all truth. So he says, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, but when it came time to write, I believe they also wrote what God wanted them to write. Don't you? Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? Let me ask you a question before, because he's asking a question now. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? Let me ask you something. Has God written? I know the book was written, like everybody in the world, right, can get it. Some of the passages are very specific to Israel and all that. Brother Richard, I'm going to ask you this. Has not God given you some very specific, excellent counsel from the words that are in that book? How about knowledge? You got to read it. But has he not given that to you? As you read it, have not, he says, I'm going to ask you to evaluate. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? If a number of us here have come to visit with me, you're weighing life's decisions. And you say, I'm going to go see the preacher to seek some counsel. And we sit down and we talk, we pray, then open the Bible, and you ask a question. I say this right here, and it's amazing. Has not the Lord given you some counsel and knowledge from the Word of God that's helped you? Oh, he has to me too. Yeah, so true. That's the work of the Spirit of God. So he says, have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? Verse 21, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. You don't believe the certainty of the words of truth because I got up here and told you to. You believe the certainty of the words of truth because he made you know that. He taught you. It's a work of the Spirit of God. I wrote these unto you. I've made known to thee this day that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. Keep your finger where you are and look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You've read this verse before, probably many times. People love to read the Gospel of John, but look what he says. John 14 and verse 26. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is whom? The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Did he do it? He sure did. He shall, what are the next four words? Teach you all things. And not only that, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Hey, that's pretty good. He will teach you all things. Amazing. You can be at your house at 6 o'clock in the morning, bleary-eyed with your first cup of coffee and a Bible in your lap. Holy Spirit's right there. Say, let me teach you something today. or at night if you read, when you read, or at work in your break, or whenever your reading time is. The Holy Spirit's right there, said, I want to teach you something today. And sometimes that's for you, to help you apply to your own heart. Sometimes it's ammunition for you to be able to tell somebody else at the right time. And he brings those things to your remembrance. Go to Acts chapter 4. The Holy Spirit does that. Acts chapter 4. While you're there, we're going to look at verse 31. Verse 31, you know the verse. But I want to remind you again, it's a story I've told you before, but hadn't told you in a pretty good while. When I first got going for the Lord, we were in a Spanish mission, a bilingual work. It was El Buen Pastor. It was part of First Baptist Church in Beeville before we went off to school. And it was a little mission church, but we had ministries, and one of the ministries was a hospital ministry, and Danny Dominguez was our guy to the hospital ministry. And the reason is he'd had a stroke, and he'd recovered from the stroke. You know, somebody that's had a long recovery in the hospital is a great one to minister to other people in the hospital because they can, well, they just know how to minister to them. They've been there. But he came to me. We were having a fellowship one night. We were sitting across from each other having a great meal. And he said to me, brother, he said, I'm very concerned. Because of my stroke, sometimes my brain doesn't work. He would say it this way. Sometimes half of my brain works. Sometimes none of it works. Sometimes it's all working. He said, invariably, he didn't use the word invariably, but that's my word. Every time I go to the hospital, and I'm there, and it looks like this person wants to hear the gospel, I can't remember the verses because my brain is faulty from the stroke. What in the world am I going to do? How do you answer a question like that? I didn't know how to answer him. But you know what I said? I said, Danny, the Bible didn't tell you to hide God's word in your head. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So put it in your heart. And he said, okay. And I was like, what did I just say? 3 weeks later, we get to church on Sunday morning. He's coming through those doors. Poor old Danny, he said, in order for me to walk without a limp, I have to think to remind myself to lift my leg. And he said, if I'm not thinking about that, I'll drag it. Well, he wasn't thinking about it because he was walking up to me as fast as he could, dragging that leg behind him. He had news. He gave me a big old hug. He said, brother, I did just what you said. I asked God to hide his word in my heart. And last night I was at the hospital on Saturday night witnessing to a guy. And all of the verses came back. And the guy got saved. And shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've spoken unto you. The certainty of the words of truth. God gave a passage to give to him, which is exactly what God wanted him to have, so the Holy Spirit could speak those words out of his heart, which is what our text said. They would, if you get them in your heart, they will withal be fitted in thy lips. I'm like, wow, you sure taught me a lesson right there, Lord. Wow, that was something else. You know, those words are very certain, and the Holy Spirit knows what he wants to do with them. It takes the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, these apostles had been threatened. You cannot speak. Speak henceforth to no man in this name. They said, just stop. You cannot preach Jesus. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened to them? What happened to them? And they spake the word of God with boldness. See, it takes the Spirit of God with boldness. We have a tendency, again, because we know the world hates Jesus, to try to find a way to say it where we can get it across. You don't have to worry about that. When the Spirit of God is there, you can just say what God said boldly. And it won't be you. It'll be the Spirit of God speaking through you boldly. Paul said, I didn't use enticing words. Well, see it for yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at this. Paul didn't dress it up. I'm not saying you don't have to be rude on purpose. You don't have to start a fight. I'm not talking that. But Paul said, I don't have to make it sound. I don't have to go to AI and find a better way to say it. Okay? I don't have to dress it up. I'll just say what God said. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. My speech, 1 Corinthians 2, 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of whom? The Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God is in these words. The power of God is in the Spirit of God. And so he says, if you want to be able to answer the words of truth to somebody that sins unto thee, then the Holy Spirit, right, is going to have to give you the boldness to say what you've put in your heart the way he wants it said, so it has the exact effect that he wants it to have in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and of power. That power, that word has changed your life. That word has changed my life. And you want it to change their life. It's a work of the Spirit of God. See, it's a work of the child of God. You bow down your ear, you apply it, you get it, and you speak. It's a work of the Word of God because that's the certainty of the words of truth, is what he said, not what we say. It's a work of the Spirit of God. He will bring to your remembrance the thing he once said, just like he did to Danny, and then he can do what he wants to do with it. The transforming power of the Word of God. Jesus said in another place, as my Father had taught me, I speak these things. Wouldn't you love the Father to teach you and just say, here, speak this, speak this. You know, I'll tell you this, honestly. If you listen to a certain podcast that you really like, you're going to repeat what you hear on that podcast because it's like, wow, that was really cool. I want to tell somebody. And you will even sound a bit like the person speaking. You know, if they're excited, you'll be excited. If they're kind of dull and straightforward and, you know, professor-like, you come across that way. Whoever you've been hanging around that kind of comes out in you. Ann and I are that way. We're sort of mimics. She really is. I remember back when we were in Pensacola, I'd be at work all day pouring concrete, get home just in time to grab up my stuff and then go to classes, and she'd put the kids down. I'd get home at 10, 15 and eat supper, and she'd be talking to me, and she'd say, well, I've got the kids down. Yeah, we went swimming at the beach earlier today, but I put the kids down now. She's talking with a lisp. I said, hanging out with Teresa today? She said, how'd you know? I said, well, Just a wild guess, but I come home and she said, I'm telling you, I had a hard time getting this supper together with them. The kids were really rough. They were all acting up and stuff. And I said, hanging out with Linda today? She said, how'd you know? I was just a good guess, I guess. You know what? You hang around Jesus in these words and you know what you're going to talk like? You're going to talk like him. You're going to talk like what he said. You know what really scared those Pharisees? It said when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, it came out. Took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. People ought to know you've been with Jesus. And that Jesus has something for them that he wants you to say. Do the work. If you really, tonight, sincerely, want to be able to answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee, spend a little less time with whatever it is that takes your time. A little more time with the Word of God. Do the study. Do the study. And trust the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And then when they ask, you'll know what to say, and when you say it, you will have answered the words of truth to them that send unto thee. And that's a good thing. Father, thank you tonight for instructing us in the words of God. I'm excited about this because I've seen it. I know it's so. And we saw in the Scripture and have been instructed how it is that you want us to do this. So help us to be faithful now, to follow what you showed us in the Scripture, to trust you. It's a simple little formula. We do the work. The Word does the work. Your Spirit does the work. Help us to be faithful in this last day here before the Lord Jesus Christ comes. How very, very important it is that people still need to hear from you. How beautiful it is when we can just open our mouths and out come the words. Help us to be a help to those looking for you, answers from you. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.